Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Is It Just Me, the podcast. Well, at this point, you can't live without. It's the weekly show that reassures you you're not alone in really giving far too much time and attention to the very, very trivial, silly things in life.
We can't live without it.
We certainly
would not
can't.
Be eating without it.
No, we wouldn't be. And yeah. I'm not even joking.
I mean, we're journalists, for crying out loud.
That's yeah. one of your hosts. That's Joe Elvin.
Hi.
And I'm the other one. I'm James Williams.
That's James. We've also got Bingley here today, who's barely interested.
Yeah, Bingley the pod dog, as he's rapidly becoming known as. Yeah, he's asleep again, not peeing, which I'm always happy about.
Yeah.
So, yes, anyway, thank you for joining us once again. And we've got a very special guest today, Joe,
well,
haven't
yeah,
we?
I'm so excited. I feel like I know this woman. I've been following her comedy career for years and years. I've been listening to her enviably as she agrees to everybody else's podcast. I can't believe today we've got, on the eve of her Lads, Lads, Lads finale tour at the Palladium, we have Sarah Pascoe.
Hello. Hey. I saved the best till last. I've been practicing on the other podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perseverance.
And you've dyed your hair pink for the occasion.
I have. I've dyed it
terribly.
I
really
pink.
Love it.
Do you know what happened? This is quite a good example of the kind of things you talk about. Yesterday, I had a hair appointment and they cancelled really last minute. And despite them, I did it myself and it looks far too bright.
No,
and
not I think that, it's great.
Okay, well, it'll fade.
No, I really like it.
I looked in the mirror and felt 15 again.
Do you know Mary Greenwell?
No.
She's like a really prominent makeup artist. Oh. She often gads about with her hair that colour as well.
Does she?
And I mean,
okay.
And she knows about good hair colours.
Okay.
So if I were you...
So I'll stop crying.
Also, yeah. I can't believe your hairdresser cancelled you.
Well, I did like a late minute booking on the website.
Yeah.
And then, and I think they'd like... cool Shoreditch kids who are like, I'm not working late on a Sunday. I'm going home.
Well, I like it. And what have you always wanted to go pink?
I've got very, very white hair at the moment, so it takes any colour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're working your way through them all.
Yeah, I thought I might a little bit just to
it's
cheer myself
inspiring.
Up at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Go the full unicorn, have multicolored.
I'd love to go full unicorn.
That would
actually.
Probably be quite high maintenance, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's just a lot of the colours just run out straight away.
Yeah.
Don't take this the wrong way, but do you remember when only grannies.
Yes.
We're sort of allowed to have like a bit of a pink or a mauve tinge.
Exactly. Well, they got
it's also that amazing Frenchie from Greece. Is that Easter egg pink colour, isn't it?
So that's the colour I want, actually, that kind of pearlised one.
It's beautiful, though. Pink. I like it.
I like how we've really got to the nitty gritty of the very important.
It's perfect podcast chat, isn't it?
How are you hair. Yourself,
you've been rehearsing
Sarah.
All your life, Sarah, for this.
Yes,
How are you?
Very good. I had. Are you Australian, Joe?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've just come back from Australia. I've been there for a month.
Oh.
My partner's Australian, and so I've had that real jolt back after a holiday.
Oh. Whereabouts did you go?
Well, we went to. So he's from Sydney. So we were there. My dad
I'm
lives in
Sydney.
Adelaide. Sydney is just the most incredible
city. Oh my God, I hope
city.
I haven't snogged him at a blue light disco.
I hope that you do. He's young. He's much younger than me.
Oh, it is him. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. His name's Steen. He's very handsome.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's getting awkward.
Oh no.
We'll still all be friends, Joe.
Yeah. Thruples are all the rage.
Oh,
now.
They are. Yeah, they're very trendy, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm just frankly too busy and too tired.
It's terrifying. There's so much negotiation with one-on-one. Imagine adding someone else.
Well, I was going to say maybe thruples are quite easy because you think, oh yeah, you have him tonight. I can't be bothered.
Yeah, but not if like on that Louis Theroux thing where they're all squeezed into a tiny bed.
Oh,
what the hell was that all about?
My friend had that. She went. I mean. I'm speaking out of turn, but she went off with our singing teacher once she was above age and his wife, and they all three of them shared a bed and the dog.
Wow.
Too many people.
Hang on a minute. When you say they shared the dog.
No, not shared the dog.
Give me a context.
Shared the bed. They shared each other.
Right.
And slept with the dog.
Jesus, non-sexual,
the dog.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, as a new dog owner myself, it's a very controversial subject matter. Everyone keeps saying, are you sleeping with their dog? And I'm like, no, I'm not. Well, and some people think it's a great thing. Some people think it's a mean thing.
Oh, I mean, so as in like, do you let Bingley in your bed?
No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't. He's a downstairs dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's allowed on the sofa. Some people are really weird. They don't let the dogs on the sofa.
Yeah.
That's really mean.
I just think the dog, I've always left it up to the dog, these things.
Yeah, I think, the dogs decide. Yeah. The dogs tell you if they're finding it too traumatic by themselves.
Yeah.
But, God, we've covered a lot of ground already.
I know. Thank you and good night.
We're on to Propples.
But tell us all about
Australia.
I was going to jump to the tour, but whereabouts in Sydney? I'm just keen to know.
So, Sydney, we stayed at Bondi, right on the beach. Nice. It was amazing. Oh. Then we went to Adelaide, and then we went to Melbourne to watch the cricket. I don't know if you have any interest in it.
Wow.
I don't.
That's why I had to leave.
No.
Yeah.
It's very boring.
I don't tan and I can't throw a ball.
Oh,
I had to leave Australia.
Yeah.
You were not
come
welcome.
To London.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we went to an island off Queensland called Badara, which was like an exotic holiday at the end.
Tell you something very fancy about Badara Island. One of my best friends designed the resort there.
It's stunning.
Yeah, I know.
It's so incredible.
She's a clever egg.
Oh, she's very clever.
Yeah.
So you travelled around a lot, though.
Yeah, we did.
I did that once when I went to Australia for 3 weeks, and I did Melbourne, Perth, and Sydney. And you forget how huge that country is.
It's ridiculous,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you think, oh yeah, I'll just do an internal flight, and it's like a whole day. Yeah.
And it's just so far.
Yeah.
I haven't been there for years.
But you did it the right way. If you're going to go that far, make it worth your while and really do it and take your time over it.
It's such an amazing country.
So do you feel a bit like, oh, it's over now? Or are you quite glad to be
back? Well, it's just how dark it is here in the mornings is such a shock.
Yeah. It's crap, isn't it?
It's really
No dressing it up.
People who get up to go to work should all get OBEs. It's so miserable.
Well, I've been campaigning for that for years. Although I've written about it and banged on about it on Instagram a lot. I spend a lot of time at this time of year obsessively checking the sunrise and sunset times.
Yes.
And it does make me feel better. But because you can see the days do get longer.
Yeah, but I can feel there's hope in the length of, in the afternoon. Like it doesn't feel like it's pitch black at 4:30.
Mm.
But I'm with you in the morning. So I get up quite early and I'm like, it feels like the dead of night at 6 a.m. still.
Yeah. Don't you feel, as a Londoner or as someone who lives in this hemisphere, don't you just feel so proud when it gets to like March and you've got through it again?
That's it.
I really do feel like a survivor.
Yeah. So it used to be like that May Day was this big festival because it was the people who hadn't died in the winter. And it is, and that's essentially we go, I didn't die this year. And I think there's nowhere better to be when it is sunny and the hope of spring is so wonderful. You go, it's worth it. It's worth the awful 8 months.
I always feel we're in that slightly sucky period now where you psychologically think you're over the worst, but in fact, you're so nowhere near it.
Yeah.
But you've done the right thing. I'm a big fan now. I'm not a huge fan of holidays generally, but if you're going to have a holiday, do a winter one.
If you can break
that monotony, and it really makes that winter a lot more bearable.
Do you know my friend Kathy Lett, the writer?
I do know Kathy, yes, yeah.
She spends December to March in Australia. Oh. And so at this point, can we just have a big old fuck you?
Yeah, fuck you, Kathy Lett.
I actually said that to her on email last night, but just in case she's slow picking up the emails. I just need her to know that we're really cross about that whole situation.
One of my friends did that recently, when he literally went to Australia from November to March.
Just
I'm like, I hate
all
you.
Of
piss
it.
Off. Yeah. Don't talk to me. No WhatsApp, nothing.
Where did I go wrong?
Just to balance it out, I knew someone's parents I knew just went back to Australia for 5 months and he died the second day they were there.
Oh. Well, you know.
Can't really say anything to that.
I was just trying to go, sometimes people shouldn't do it.
Exactly. Bad things happen.
They'll have a sudden heart attack.
Exactly.
Terribly sorry to hear that.
It is very far.
But it's not someone I know. I was too flippant about that death. No.
So is this a new relationship with an Australian man?
Relatively new, yes. Yeah.
I never quite managed a successful relationship with an Australian man.
Oh, really?
What's that like?
Do you think they have a character flaw?
Me and them, we didn't really get on.
I remember being, so the first time I started doing a stand-up in Australia, being really realising that Australian women have a really particular strength to them. And I felt it really admirable. I really liked a lot of the Australian woman comics I was seeing. I got very excited about it. And then I realised, it's because if they're straight, they have to deal with Australian men. And you do have to be quite no-nonsense with them because there's a kind of Australian masculinity. It's very loud.
And I remember when I was, when I lived in Sydney, I was very young and sort of like on the dating scene. It was like 19, 20, 21.
Mm.
And in Sydney at the time, I'm not sure if it's different now, but Sydney was the second largest gay population in the world to San Francisco. So if you were a like the ugliest, most abhorrent straight man in Sydney, you still had your choice of the 10 hottest women of it. So it was just like the law of averages for, you know, a 6.5 out of 10 straight Aussie girl.
Yeah, they call it relative mate value, don't they? So like New York has that problem at the moment. Lots of eligible, very highly qualified single women. Oh. And there's like gross men who get their pick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who knew?
England was the first time a man, I think, asked me a question.
Ask her more, Australia. Ask her more.
So I really noticed that when I got here. Yeah. So it's like, sorry, Aussies.
Yeah. Don't do an Aussie bash.
I'm sure your Aussie man's lovely.
Yes. Very nice.
Well, he's a new Aussie man, isn't he?
Yeah.
How did you meet? Not on the apps or in real life?
Oh, no, in real life. Oh, well done. In real life. Yeah,
that's the way
forward. Well done.
Yeah.
That's
I've unusual. Never been on the apps. They really scare me.
Oh, they're terrifying.
Yeah.
How did you manage that IRL? Talk me through that IRL experience. You've only ever done it. You've never had an app experience.
No,
I guess.
Never had an app experience. Yeah. But I keep meeting people through work, which is the other thing, which I mean, end up with people who work. And there's something to be said for maybe not having someone who does the same job as you. Mm. So that's the trouble if you don't go on an
Joe's
app.
Well, Joe's husband and her, they do the same job, don't you, really?
Yeah. And I think in your line of work, and this is a gross generalization, but... you know, I think my favorite comedians are comedians because there's been some real sort of like point of pain in their life.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
real sort of like baggage there. So I often wonder how two comics.
Oh, I see. With all that baggage.
That work.
Yeah. They have to fly business class.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
To get more allowance. Yeah.
Because I used to, you possibly even been on it, like Mark Maron's WTF podcast. And like every comedian on there has got some.
But I think that's true of all people. I just think maybe comedians communicate about it because usually it's a good kind of well to tap into because you're always looking for something universal and there is a kind of universality to lots of kind of pain. Mm. I don't think comedians are in any way special.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I always say though, I do feel like if you're a comedian, the pressure on you, not just from your own peers, but just from on the street, like people just expect you to be on and funny and like basically just in stand-up mode the whole time. And it must be like so...
Oh, you disappoint a lot of people. Is the thing.
But it is. I mean, we were just talking earlier, actually, that one of the questions that makes you more tense than any, and this is as a Joe Public person, is, tell us a joke.
Yeah.
Tell us your favourite joke, because that pressure to say something funny is like no other. So if that's your day job.
I know. And it doesn't happen with other jobs because people aren't like, oh, write me an article or,
build up some shelves.
I'd like to see a wall. Yeah, they don't. But they just have this thing, oh, this will be nice. It'll be a nice story to tell other people that I've had you in the back of my cab. Like, it won't. I'm going to disappoint you so much.
And also, I'm actually having a really shit time. I've got, you know, the paints and decorators. It's all that thing. Is that people
or
just
it's just going, that's my job and I'm not at work right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit,
But you still have to be nice to people. I think it's so important to be polite.
Yes, of course. I think you can politely decline and say, I'm not really on right
now. Or that's my worst question. I'm not very funny for a comedian. And then they find that funny enough to leave you alone.
But then I was completely, I was just saying to James before you got here, we haven't met, but I was on a panel at something for like a magazine conference thing, and you were like front and center in the audience,
heckling her.
Oh,
and I was so weirded out.
Where
by,
was that? Was that a
it
mother?
It was a little while ago now.
Was it? Is it called MotherNet? Was it on? Was it there that you were there for Davina McCall?
No, it was in some weird place in near Tower Hamlets. It was. And not only was I was thinking, oh my God, there's that comedian Sarah Pascoe. I haven't got anything funny to say. I'm going to be. And then at one point I looked up and you were gone. So I thought, so not only.
Are you sure it was me?
I was gonna say,
yes. I'm absolutely positive.
Oh.
Are you sure? Maybe you realised you were in the wrong place and that's why you suddenly went, this is
so
embarrassing.
It was so boring that she can't even remember it.
I can't remember.
It.
This
just
is
me
terrible.
Wanging on about magazines for an hour.
Yeah. And you got off with her boyfriend. I mean, this is getting more.
That's
and more.
Why I came in to check. Who's this bitch from his past? And then I thought, I'll really get into her head. I'll leave.
She's no threat.
Yeah.
She's not even funny.
No. So,
anyway, back to actually talking about work, Sarah.
Yes.
So lads, tell us a bit more about that.
So it's a show that I wrote after a breakup, and I was going through this thing about I was trying to work. Well, I was celibate for a year, and so it was the beginning of that year, me working out how to be happy by myself. And I was so used to, you know, like what you'd call like a serial monogamist, having relationships that were a couple of years and then meeting someone else and kind of changing your life around that person. And I was trying to do this opposite thing, which was being okay by myself and doing things like traveling by myself.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to kind of continually writing stand-up on that topic. And this is like kind of towards the end of that process, because I've been working on it for about 18 months, and then we're filming it for BBC Two at the Palladium. Mm. So it's very exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And so when is that happening? That's
10th of March.
Great.
Yeah.
So tickets still available?
Oh, so many.
Don't say that.
No. What I mean is invite the whole family.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's cool, Sarah. Yeah, you might get one or two.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an afternoon show and an evening show because we have to film it twice, you see. So it'll be a really fun day.
Oh, that's exciting. Yes. I am going to be there.
And it's the Palladium.
Middle of the front row, leave halfway through. Fine. Yeah.
No. Get your revenge. Yeah. She's on to me. Revenge will be mine. Sitting there with my arm around Dean.
Yeah. Hey, stud.
Yeah. So, I mean, did you, when you were sort of like deciding, see, the thing is, when I was younger and single, if I decided to be celibate for a year, I don't think anyone would have challenged me on that.
No one really challenged me.
There must have been points where there was a fork in the road and you can all blow it. Actually, I don't want to do that now. How did you stay with it?
It didn't actually happen. I think something I talk about in the show is that I've been asked out twice in my life, and both of those times were in the celibate year. One of the men was 83, and
you got to love him for trying.
Well,
though.
No, I did, and actually, he sent me such a beautiful email. It was so polite. He wrote a list of conversation topics because of what he thinks we have in common. So that was like super sweet, but yeah, not a challenge
really
to my celibacy.
About it. Yeah.
yeah. And I invited him to come to a show because I really try to be kind to people, and I said, "Oh, I don't want to go to dinner, but I'll say hello to you. You can come to a gig," and he slept through the whole thing. Which is worse than leaving, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He had a lovely nap.
He's already stolen your gag there, Joe. You can't.
Yeah. But this, that gives you the perfect out. Well, I was going to marry you.
Yeah,
but
that's it.
But
that's
clearly, I'm
we don't have that in common. Yeah. Sleeping rudely. No, I found that's the thing is I almost kept telling people, I'm being celibate at the moment, even though I wasn't exactly batting them away either.
I find that very hard to believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Again, a year goes fast. It was good. I feel much better for having done it. And I did things like, you find time for things much more. Like I started going to yoga and exercising more and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say, you get to a certain age where time just goes really quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's like everything. You just have, so you basically took up actual hobbies.
Yeah, I tried to, yeah. And I did. I went to like a yoga retreat in Costa Rica. I went to India. I went to Paris for Valentine's Day. I tried to kind of really push myself to do things that I found really terrifying.
And did, because we've talked a bit about this. Some people are very weird, aren't they, about going to the theatre by yourself or going for meals by
yourself.
You think
people are going to stare at you.
Yeah.
Or you think you're going to be terribly lonely.
Yeah.
And actually, you're not either of those things.
Well, I went to the theatre once by myself because I was meeting a friend afterwards. Mm. And I did find myself having the urge to go around the bar and tell people that I had friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, do you know what I mean? But, which is something that someone with friends would do, right?
Yeah.
So go and tell everyone they've got friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do feel like, I don't know.
I certainly felt when I went for a meal by myself, I felt that need to talk to the waiter a lot more than I normally would.
Yes.
Because I thought, I don't want people thinking I have no social skills whatsoever.
Oh, for sure, know? Yeah. I think if you've got a book, there's something quite lovely about eating by yourself.
Yeah.
And I think now with phones, you don't ever feel truly alone. But I used to have that with smoking. I don't smoke anymore. But you used to go, what do? I'll just go outside and stand and have a cigarette. And something to do.
But I think it's great. So, and so that's influenced a lot of the show, I'm assuming.
Yes,
all
that's kind of
the
about
show.
That kind of journey.
So,
yeah.
But it's
and there's something about the GQ Awards in it.
Oh, it's
which,
there.
Yes, something about Ollie Murs. He was on our table. Oh.
We love Ollie.
Sarah came to the GQ Awards this year, which I helped
organize. Yeah, Gatecrashed with Aisling.
Yes. Yes. But that, I always said that was the table I wanted to be on. That was the fun table. Well, look, do go and check. Where can they get tickets from, Sarah? Where's the best place to go?
The London Palladium website.
Head there now and get tickets to Sarah's show, Lads, Lads, Lads. Check it out. Joe will be there sleeping or cracking on to Sarah's boyfriend. I'll be there laughing.
I'm going to be there. And I'm going to enjoy every goddamn second.
Check it out. And anyway, no, Sarah, you ready to go on to talk about some very,
yes,
very
please.
Important things?
Yes, please.
Like
yes.
Some serious gravitas.
Okay.
Let's bring it.
Is it just me, guys?
Yes.
Who never gives money to buskers?
No, I never do. That's that one closed.
It's closed. It's not just me. It's me and you.
Is it just me, though, that I quite like a busker? I feel
all
like
all of them.
Well, no, don't get me wrong. There are some very. But I had to say, I feel like you don't see as many anymore.
Yes.
Do you? Are they a dying breed? Buskers.
I think there's
my
laws
office,
against them.
But in my office, in summer more so. But we have actually phoned the council on a guy who stands outside and plays for hours on end.
Oh gosh.
That Justin Bieber song, Despacito.
Oh, brilliant!
On the saxophone, over. No. and over
so
again.
So the saxophone, this is my problem. My dad is a musician. My right. dad is a, well, he's currently, he does jazz improvisation on the saxophone, which other people apparently like, but not for me.
No, and, I don't like that.
No. And sorry, when I was younger, he would busk when we were children. And he got so much money in his saxophone case. So I also know how lucrative it is. So I never really? Feel bad for buskers,
Who
ever.
Who knew? I always think the opposite. I thought, oh, they'll...
They hide the money because if you think about how many people pass in a short amount of time, it only takes a few people to give a couple of pounds. That really builds up.
God.
And they hide, hide all the money. They
this
hide
is where
it
we've
all.
Been going wrong.
But I love this podcast. I'm learning and I'm growing. Mm. I had no idea. Yeah. And I always feel guilty yes. when now, I walk past yeah. and don't.
What were the hot spots? What's prime real estate for buskers then, Sarah?
Oh, well, so my dad was about around Romford in Essex. So,
I so not even central London?
No, not even central. Wow. But mostly it's guilt. That's what I think the problem with the busking system is you don't go, oh my gosh, that violinist is incredible. I'm going to donate because they really changed my life today. They changed my mood with their wonderful music. You go, oh God, she looks sad.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so bad. I probably got some change. And I just feel like that's the wrong exchange. You're not like going, oh, you gave me a little bit of art. Here's some change. You're going like, oh, you're going to be there for hours. Everyone's ignoring you.
I feel a bit more tense. I don't mind a busker if it's like a guy on an acoustic guitar or a girl. But I mean, I think it's when I see the ones with like a little boombox and they try to sing opera.
Yeah, the karaoke people.
They're slightly sad.
But
I think.
What are they?
It must be hard. I do get embarrassed for them.
Mm. Like, but you must know be. About this. What are the regulations? It just seems like anyone.
Well, no, you've got to have a license.
I can't yeah. sing or play an instrument, no. but it feels like I could just front up to Oxford Circus.
No, you have to have a license
so
to do it.
So in the actual tubes, they have to audition and get given permission, and if they don't have the permission, they get moved on. And lots of places in London.
Some
like,
of those people have been through an auditioning process.
Joe, it's shocking to find out. who are the rejects?
I want to know who is the Simon Cowell of TFL that gets yeah. to sit yeah. on the audition panel.
I reckon it's still Simon. Simon Cowell. I think he does that say, Monday
you're
through, mornings.
You're through to Piccadilly Circus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's it. He just picks the worst people from Britain's Got Talent and goes, don't worry, you're not on the show, but.
But there's an opening up.
Yeah. Do you have an Oyster card? We've got a job for you.
But I mean, I guess the exception is Christmas, because, you know, it's nice when you walk the streets of London at Christmas, you know, you hear. The same is old it? Songs being
I
sung.
I think I get too irritated by music. I don't even like it in shops when playing the same songs over and over again.
Really?
But yeah, I think it's noise pollution. I like some peace and quiet.
You like tranquility?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be a busker shamer. I've been labelled as a shamer of too many things recently.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you, Sarah. It just feels like it's. I don't think I've ever heard a busker and thought, God, that's incredible. Why isn't this person on television? Do you know what I mean? Never, ever.
So. I tell you another thing, actually. Children, people who get children to do it, I think that's really creepy.
Have you seen this?
Oh, it's actually a big thing in Sydney and Melbourne. They usually, and I'm now racially stereotyping, they're usually children of some kind of maybe Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Malaysian origin. And so 7 or 8 year olds with big pianos, and they're like virtuosos.
Right.
And everyone's filming them on their phones. And I think there's something really creepy about doing it with children.
Yeah.
Like sending a child out to earn money.
Well, surely child labour.
Well, it's child labour, yes.
Should come into play
and also,
somewhere.
Child showing off a thing they can do when I can't. Which is also
that's
annoying.
Really what's going on.
Yeah, now we're getting to the heart of it.
We hate high achievers.
Yes.
Over young achievers.
Yeah, precocity.
Yeah, maybe I'm just, because maybe in my head, because I was going to say, you're not from London either, Joe. See, in my head, I don't mind it so much because we didn't used to see it so much growing up.
Yeah.
But. And I sort of feel like I don't see it that much anymore. So now I have a weird, like, sort of affection for them.
Oh, yeah, so it's like an old world. You're nostalgic.
I hate to say it, it's a terrible thing to say. I think it is steeped in a bit of, oh, bless. You know,
it's like a form of begging rather than entertainment.
But there's one, I'm really going to get in trouble now, but there's one group on, there's a band, I use the term loosely, who get on the Circle Line most days.
Was it like the mariachi band? No.
I don't know what they are, but they're sort of a jazz band.
They have a saxophone.
They sound awful.
And they only sing when the saints go marching in.
Yes, I know the ones you're talking about.
And they always get the lyrics completely wrong and run up and down that already packed tube carriage where your face is in someone's
arm crack. And no one wants to be brought back into real life. No, I mean,
the Circle Line is a trial on a good day.
Well, you can get one. I mean, to be honest.
They don't enhance it.
You might as well just try and flag down a unicorn and get on a Circle Line.
And I don't know if I'm just getting old and too curmudgeonly, but I've turn to openly swearing when I ask for fuck's sake. Here we go. And you can always catch the eyes of the other regular circle owners going, oh no, they're a nightmare.
Well, I guess the thing is though, maybe the other thing is I wear headphones everywhere, which probably says a lot more. I don't even notice half the time.
Yeah.
Which, that's interesting. You know, so.
There's in Edinburgh, when the festival's on, there's a few buskers on bagpipes, and that's pretty horrific as well.
I thought you could say, and that's actually quite charming.
No,
horrific.
Because it means if you're like you, because you might be trying to go to sleep, and if you're anywhere near the Royal Mile, you can hear bagpipes.
I wonder what the difference is between really brilliant and not very good bagpipe playing.
Not much in it. Yeah. There isn't much in it.
Yeah. I mean, who would know?
No,
Simon Cowell.
Yeah. No, I don't think he would know. Everyone's just making it up with the bagpipes.
No, the Proclaimers.
Yeah. No,
they might have an idea.
They would know.
Yeah. I feel very sorry if you are sat there listening and you are a busker.
Oh, we've inspired you to get into it. It's a dying market.
And you want to email us.
You know, we've heard it's very lucrative. Yeah, exactly. No idea.
I'm thinking of taking it up in the lean freelance months. I need to learn an instrument, or maybe not.
You could play the recorder.
You could write little poems for people like they do outside the Shakespeare's Globe. People do. Well, I like that kind of busking,
spoken
that quiet.
Word.
They do. They write individual
like
poems
a magic
for
trick.
People.
Yeah.
Magic's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Statues, you can just walk straight past.
It's more the obnoxious
it's the noise.
Volume.
Yeah, it's not that people want to try and do things to earn money.
Well, look, if you agree with Sarah.
They should all be in a triangle.
Yes.
What do you reckon? I can play the recorder.
We could do this.
I could do Stairway to Heaven. You could ping along.
We could be really irritating and make lots of money.
But what about
not
this? What about if it's like we say the headphone thing, but what if it's always silent disco? So people busk and you put the headphones on if you want to listen.
Well, opt in, opt out.
Yes.
Optional.
Very good idea. Well, look, if you are sat there and you agree totally with what Sarah's saying, do email us and let us know. We love hearing from you. The usual email address applies. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. Is it just me that feels like because a dessert has vegan or wheat-free on it, I can eat as many as I like because they're vegan/wheat-free?
You drongo.
Well, I know. I mean, I know this is a funny thing because I'm saying this because I'm recently coming out of a phase where quite a lot of my friends did do veganuary.
Oh, yeah.
There is this idea, and I remember actually a personal trainer once saying, actually, it was James Digan, actually. He once said something, I saw a talk he did, and he was talking about the whole wheat-free, gluten-free thing. And he basically, look, what you've got to remember is a slap in the face is gluten-free. It doesn't mean it's good for you. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
And I think what I'm finding is these friends of mine that did veganuary, well, they all pretty much lived off Miss Cupcake in Brixton.
Yeah, you can
have vegan
do.
Cupcakes for the month. And that's not a good healthy lifestyle choice,
no,
is it?
But I think you're confusing being vegan with being healthy. Because that's one of the big misnomers about
people
it.
People do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do think, you must just be eating carrots. Mm. And actually you can be a dessert vegan now, which means you just eat crisps. And like you say, I've been vegan for 10 years. And if there is any kind of vegan dessert, I will eat it. Because usually I can't have it. Mm. So it's a vegan biscuit, vegan cake, and especially if it's a vegan thing I haven't had before, so I'll have all of them.
Yeah.
But just out of like, I haven't had that a vegan spotted dip with custard, so I have to, just because...
Try it.
Yeah, because there'll be another day where I can't.
But how
so it's excitement.
How do you feel then, Sarah, so you've been... Yeah. Well, vegan for 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you feel it's becoming a bit trendy? If people are jumping on a bandwagon,
I think it's a really great example. It's two things. Number one, it's a really great example of capitalism because certain companies were losing a very, very tiny percentage of their income to people kind of being either healthier or vegan or being even kind of ethically aware. And as we all know, from huge corporations can't lose even 1% of their income. They have, and so they. Everything got so incredibly good. So like you had shops like Pret, even Starbucks has a vegan option. Cafe Nero have a vegan option. So being a vegan completely changed in the last few years. And that means that people who, as we all know, everyone's got a certain amount to do, a certain amount of headspace to think about things. Veganism, if you had to think about where you were going to have your lunch, was too hard. But if you make it simple, people go, I'll try it and see if it makes me feel better. Because lots of people have different kind of food allergies and stuff. So rather than being trendy, or in any way for some people, it's not even moralistic. It's more, I get really sluggish in the afternoons. And like with if someone does quit bread or something, they're going, I wonder if it's dairy. Mm. I wonder if it's dairy and having processed meat, and I wonder how I feel. And I think the option's there because I know so many people now who've tried it, not completely for them, but they'll be like vegan-ish where they'll go, now I eat fish occasionally and only really good meat once a month. And I think that's such a perfect diet.
Yeah. So you're basically not one, because going back to talking about Piers, obviously he gets on his real thing about, you know, the militant vegans, isn't he?
But it was such an odd thing because you talk about militancy. I would really have understood if Greg said, do you know what, we're doing all vegan sausage rolls now, there's barely any meat in them anyway. And then you'd go, well, hang on.
Yeah.
But just the idea that someone else might have an option, and Piers is like, no, no option, not for you.
Yeah, but I mean, he's only doing that just to...
Exactly.
Of course he is.
The best PR Greg's ever got. Well, that,
but obviously
it?
I thought Greg's...
Have you tried it, by the way?
I haven't. Oh. Because you can't get them. There's not enough of them.
Yeah, I know.
So it was always a PR exercise. And unfortunately, they got too much PR because of Piers Morgan.
You can't get hold of
them. And again, I thought, for someone who's right wing to be saying to a company, you can't be attracting a bigger market, there would be absolute outcry if a left wing company said, well, actually, we're going to be even more kind of socialist.
Yeah,
it was such good marketing for him to...
But I think that's... Yeah, I think, you know, I'm a carnivore, Joe, you're a carnivore. But I mean, I'm definitely warming more. And I don't think it's because militant vegans are shoving it down my throat.
It's the
opposite.
It's
the idea
of... It's creativity around food.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived with a vegetarian for nearly 30 years. Mm. And so I've never been obsessive in the way that some people are about meat. And I think people who are obsessive about meat in my family have always had this idea that if you're a vegan or vegetarian, then you... can't lift a pen, your limbs are so weak.
Yeah, that's one of the questions people always ask is, well, where do you get your protein?
Yeah,
like, you haven't thought about it, and you go, fuck, I knew I forgot something. Shit, I've been existing without protein all this time. Or B12, what about B12? They think they're going to catch you out.
Well, I mean, I guess my worry about it is, I definitely, and the argument about, you know, what it does to the planet and eating less meat, I think that's
And I think that is a really powerful argument.
Yeah, I think far more powerful.
Also, just people to know where their food comes from, because we're all so busy. It's so easy to not even think about it.
Yeah, but see, because I'm a cook, and I've always been, like, I've always, you know, I'm not one for convenience food. So so I've always thought about my food, and I've read books over the years about, you know, what goes into supermarket, mass marketing food, and all that kind of stuff. So I've been a bit aware on that side, but I still think there's a slight worry where I know, for example, there are people in my social sphere who are definitely doing the vegan thing because it's a way of them now dressing up their new... Yeah. It's the new way for them to dress up their eating disorder.
Well, this is the thing. I have to be really careful what I say about veganism, because really early on I realised if you do any kind of TV things, young women in particular, but obviously eating disorders affect everybody and it's not a gendered thing... they're using it to disguise a control thing with food.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's a very extreme eating disorder. And veganism can starve you. If you can't find things, or if you take, I know there's lots of terms for it now, but that kind of healthy eating to an extreme.
Yeah.
And that's something we all know, people who are affected by that. And you have to be really flexible with it.
But here's the other thing about veganism. It's any food, if we're actually only a few years away relatively from a population of the world of 10 billion people... There's going to be issues with food production, whether they involve meat or not. And that's what really freaks me out. It's like, basically, there's just not going to be enough space to grow the food for the people.
And we always get other revelations when you think something's a better choice. So if, say, someone like me who thinks, oh, I think dairy farming, especially when it's in these massive factories, is so incredibly cruel. I'll have soy or I have almond. And then you get told about what that farming does. And then you realise, oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's mass farming in general.
Yeah.
You're not going to find a healthy alternative. I mean, healthy for the planet, unless it's much more to do with using the land we've got and homegrown and not flying things all over the world.
And so that's why people like me just stop thinking about it, because you're just going insane.
Well, you do go, I'm not going to win this.
Yeah.
I mean, I think more to the point, though, I think it's actually just about, more so than looking at it, meat versus whatever, veganism. Yeah. I think it's more about looking at how much we just eat.
Yeah.
You know, because the truth is we are all overeating, certainly compared to how we used to eat. You know?
I'm just going
to
do it until the food runs out, because now I'm starting to wonder, you know, apparently we will be eating crickets in 20 years, so I'm going to enjoy a burger now, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah. True.
Although I have to say, I did go to, she was a guest on our podcast, and Gizzy Erskine's Filthy Burgers, the vegan plant-based burger.
Oh, where's that?
Oh, it's next door, it's in Shoreditch.
Oh my gosh.
It's excellent.
Okay.
It's really good. It's that perfect balance of, it doesn't taste like a meat burger, but it doesn't taste like a veggie burger.
But are you looking for something that tastes like a meat
absolutely.
Burger?
Yes, absolutely.
You are.
So fast food is one of the things that really changed with veganism. Berlin's been ahead of it. They were really good for ages. They've got incredible... Or I mean, and in a really, like, filthy, disgusting way, kebab shops and stuff that don't even say that they're vegan.
Wow.
And again, they're dirty burgers. No, I love that stuff.
Wow.
There's a place that's really near Holborn that does deep-fried vegan macaroni, like macaroni cheese. It's got herbs in it, deep-fried. And again, they do burgers that taste to me like...
Let's get the hell there right now.
Why didn't we do the podcast there?
I know. Yes. Yeah. That's all I want
So that's what I think about. It's so great that people try it or will have an alternative, because being excited about food and different ways of cooking and where to get taste from, like lots of Eastern food doesn't have any dairy in it and any animal fat, and it's full of flavour. So I think that's a really good thing for people to find out.
Because I always think, I'm a big egg fan. I love eggs. And I always think, oh, I'd really miss eggs. But then if you think at like, you know, lots of like Chinese food, Japanese, you know, there's no eggs.
So this weird thing happens when you don't have them for ages. You start to find it really gross.
Yeah.
Because even you say egg, I'm like, it comes from a chicken's back. It's so weird. So weird.
My husband's weird about eggs.
Is he? Yeah.
They're so gross.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's true. It is true. That's the thing, isn't it? But anyway, well.
No, it's not. They're very good for you. And I shouldn't have said that. They're just gross to me.
Yes.
I thought I dreamt about cheese for so many years.
After giving up?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was at the hardest thing, so not.
Yeah, cheese for
were
me.
Were you, by the way, a full-on carnivore? Always, or did you go straight to veganism?
No, I'd always been vegetarian since I was a child. And I was a much unhealthier vegetarian. I used to say cheese sandwiches all the time and jacket potatoes. So I'm a much healthier vegan.
But in all seriousness, that's how it has changed. Because I remember the same thing. Kids at school with me became vegetarian. They just ate a lot of cheese.
Yeah.
Whereas now, actually, it is amazing to see what the vegan / vegetarian options are like.
Yeah.
And so it's a great time to be a vegan and alive.
Or anyone, just knowing that having more plants in your diet is so brilliant for your digestion and good for your energy.
Yeah. So, but I guess it's like everything in moderation,
even a vegan dessert,
Hallelujah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Sarah Pascoe, James Williams, is it just me who hates getting post? It's not fun anymore, is it? There was a time when, you know, when I was a kid and I had a pen pal in America.
Yeah, that's it. There's no more pen pals.
Times were simpler.
Yeah. Now it's just, you owe this money. You haven't done this.
Yeah, admin. Do this. Phone us here. Email us there.
You know this boring shit we told details. You about your pension last week? We're telling you again.
I'm also genuinely quite shocked when I get posts.
Yeah.
Because it's like a bit like, oh, what is that? It's like literally...
How do they know where to find me?
Yeah. Because I have pretty much gone, you know, paperless on everything.
Yeah.
So if I get any posts, it's usually from my mum, something knitted.
That sounds like nice posts.
I don't get anything from my mum. Oh, my God.
I get it to send you. Stuff. But you know, or it's junk mail still exists. Well, I still get like people trying to sell me credit cards. Yes. I'm like, leave me alone.
Jeremy Corbyn's big face on something. Or, you know,
sent his face.
Yeah. It's on my wall.
I think what I really struggle with is I'll get it and I don't open it because I don't think it's important. And so two things I've been caught out with: I didn't pay my TV license.
Oh.
And
which is dodgy when you
and I didn't realise that
are they still posting
email have it a pop up on iPlayer and then I'd have seen it and the other one was I didn't know that I wasn't paying my phone bill by direct debit. It wasn't going out and then I had my phone cut off and then they'd sent me letters and letters and letters and I just thought my phone was broken. I got a new phone and it's just all stupidity, so they shouldn't have posted anything to me.
They really shouldn't have.
Yeah, they could have texted me. Yeah. And I'd gone, oh, I see. They know I use my phone.
But it is weird, isn't it? I think it's funny how, because I've said this about things like voting. Mm. Like I still find it mad in this day and age where you can vote for the winner of the X Factor, mm. but you can't vote for, you know, the political party of your choice, yes. via your phone. Because the simple truth is, I swear to God, there must be a way of encrypting an app that you could do that.
Well, if you have your little thumbprint,
exactly.
for your Barclays app, if,
exactly.
then your phone knows
if
all of them, doesn't it?
You can move your money around. You, yes. should. And I just don't, I think it's because it would put a lot of people who push, yes. a lot of paper around at jobs, basically.
Oh, I think they're all volunteers. I think it's because that people, they think people don't trust the system. Mm. And there's always there's already so much talk about fraud.
Mm. I still think,
I think,
though,
it's, I think I people think, don't believe, don't
I think
trust
the number, the voter turnout would, yes. go up tenfold if you could do it from your phone. I honestly
think they might not have won Brexit.
True. Do you not think?
I mean, no.
I think older people wouldn't be able to do it, and I think that's the problem, that you'd actually eliminate them.
Well, that would happen, but also I don't think that would particularly motivate a lot of people anymore.
But then we introduce the system of our Australia,
exactly.
you are
compulsory,
fine if you don't.
I don't know about that either.
I'm sorry. No, but I still believe you should not, you know, spoil your vote then. But I just think to not vote, apathy is the,
yes.
worst.
Yes,
thing.
I just registered. I saw this. I've chosen not to. Do it.
I don't want Corbyn or Theresa May, thank you. Yeah. I want neither. You know, I, yes. just think I'd rather have.
So what's the point of that?
Well, I just think it forces, yes. people to be engaged.
They then have to try,
it forces,
yeah, yeah.
someone to actually look at the sort of reality of a situation and make a decision.
Yeah.
Letting,
yeah.
people just get off the hook without making any, you know, not nailing their, what is it?
The colours mask. To the mask.
Yes. Yeah.
I just think, what kind of message is that sending out? It's basically sending out to young people, it's not that important.
But that's the apathy that I think's kind of
dangerous.
Yeah, and it's not doing any harm to the current political parties, yeah. or certainly not to the people in power at the moment.
No.
I mean,
yeah.
this innocuous chat about posters taking a very serious turn,
know.
Hasn't it?
Yeah,
it's not my fault.
No,
yeah.
Sorry,
it never is.
Yeah.
With
me.
Yeah.
No,
so it's,
yeah.
a waste of paper, it's a waste of ink, it's a waste of... But then I do really like both of my postmen. They are both men.
How have you met them?
I order a lot of things. Does this count as post, actually? I mean, like letters. I like to, if I'm drunk, shop online,
oh.
and then be surprised by what
arrives.
I like
arrives. To do it when I'm drunk and when I'm not drunk.
Yeah.
Joe doesn't discriminate.
Yeah.
No.
It's just so great buying yourself presents.
And then, yeah. you forget because you're drunk, yes. and then it turns up. Yeah. You're like, oh.
And
that's like,
and you, a, yeah. clothes buyer, a knick-knack buyer.
I love Etsy.
Oh,
I love,
yes.
I love crafts. So I do like clothes, but anything people have made themselves. So it feels, again, it feels very anti-capitalist. It feels like supporting artists.
Yes.
But yeah, I've got a house full of crap. A house full of crap covered in Frida Kahlo is what I've got.
As long as it all sparks joy, apparently.
Yeah. Well, it does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. Also, so I listened on, who was it? It was on Killer No Filler. They were talking the other day about how, because everyone's Marie Kondo, the secondhand shops are full of some great stuff.
Oh.
Loads of books.
That's true, actually. There's been a real surge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Funny, yeah. you say that. I was walking past the charity shop in Brixton the other day, and I was like, this is a great window,
yeah.
display.
For those of us who still want lots of crap, it's our time. Yeah.
I get so offended, though, when I give a really good haul to the charity shop, yeah. and then I don't see any of it in the window. It's like, I gave you bastards some Michael
what
Kors.
What a kick in,
yeah.
the teeth.
Yeah.
Well, I will sometimes think that means the staff have just taken it straight away and it's too,
oh,
good.
Yeah, you're true.
Which is
maybe.
Obviously, I'm so much of an optimist. I think it was so great, they couldn't even sell it.
Yeah.
That's
true. But yeah, no post. I mean, I'm trying to think what good post you get, because I get a bit tense about cards. I don't really like birthday cards. I don't even know how long to hang on to them.
If it was a nice card, I'd be well in
there. No, because then I feel bad, because I feel like I'm going to put that straight in the recycling.
Mm.
Oh, should I leave it for 5 minutes there, yeah. on the side?
But you're just basically wasting time.
Yeah,
just,
and I don't want it clutter on the sides.
No, exactly.
So literally, I open the envelope.
Way where your Frida Kahlo knickknacks.
Yeah.
But do you feel a bit like opening post has become the sort of almost equivalent of never checking your bank balance? You know, people just,
yes,
never,
yeah,
ask.
Just ignoring,
yeah,
it,
just,
yeah.
yeah.
So,
oh,
also, the other thing is, I don't answer the phone. I've got a real phobia of answering the phone.
Lots of people have that.
That's like my nana. That's,
yeah.
what she was like.
Yeah, why have they,
yeah.
got my number?
Fern Cotton has an intense phobia of answering,
well,
the phone.
Well, that's it. I don't like being on the phone ever.
No.
And even like with voice memos now, people send voice memos to be cool and funky, and I can't bear it.
See, I love a good old chat.
Do you?
I still feel like, and I get a bit irate when people don't have their number at the end of their email. So I'm like, well, hang on, what if you haven't answered my question? I wouldn't be able to call you straight away.
They're
on
to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe, oh no, he loves, yeah. a chat, don't put,
yeah.
your number,
yeah.
on there.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know what it is. I think because actually my flatmate said to me the other day, she said, cause she was trying to negotiate something about mortgage. She's trying to get away from me, understandably.
Yeah.
But and she, I gave her like this mortgage broker details, and she's like, where's the email address? I was,
yeah.
like, oh no, just ring her. She's like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, ring her. She's going, no, 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 I can't do that.
No.
I was going, what do you mean you can't do that? It's like,
No, I don't like
some people
it.
Literally.
She's right.
So I can't do that. I'm moving at the moment. And so similarly, I tried to book the removal people on an email and they said, we just want to call to go through some details. And I said, I'll just come and just do an email. And eventually they came round because I preferred seeing them in person than do the phone. The same, the cleaning you have to do when you leave the property. The cleaner wanted to talk to me on the phone.
But why can't they just email you that?
Because there were so many questions, it would be quicker on the phone. But I was like, I'll just answer the questions on the emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather take the time.
I just like to, you know, have a connection with people sometimes, especially with someone you don't know. Because often you can get in our work, you can get to a point where you literally have never met somebody and you've worked with them several times. You know?
I like that isolation. Yeah. I like that.
And it also is a quiet way to work, get into the volume.
Yeah, maybe buskers. That's it. I just don't like anything noisy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've come to the wrong podcast,
yes,
I'm
the
afraid.
Wrong podcast.
But, well, I mean, where do you, I guess. No, you answer the phone. You're not scared of the phone.
Well, I answer if it's you. Because I know I'm not getting out of it. Mm-hmm. You know,
I have some friends that won't answer.
No, I won't answer.
And they're the people that will text me. The second
I'll
I
text
call
you back,
them,
yeah.
they will not answer.
What's up? I would text if someone called me.
Very common. Very common. Well, I mean, I don't know what else to say on that.
I still hate getting posts.
You hate posts. I'm going to eat less vegan desserts and you're going
to... Is that what we came up with?
This is like our summing up.
I thought we ate vegan desserts to stick it to Piers Morgan.
That's right.
That's our protest.
This podcast is changing the world, Sarah.
Yeah.
I just pity those poor buskers.
Yeah. Yes, the poor buskers.
They're getting
nothing
on the way out from here. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Good luck with the Palladium gig on the 18th of March.
10th of March.
10th of March. Sorry.
Where did you get the 18th from?
You booked me in for another one. Yeah. That's my victory luck.
Yeah. Should come back around the next week. No, the 10th of March.
Yes, lads.
Do check it out.
Thanks so much,
and
guys.
Thank you. And thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you again next week.
See you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.